ध्यायामो धवलावगुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मदसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। We saw in the previous day Krishna glorifying the state, the ultimate state, or whatever he called as yad gatva na nivartante, that state achieving which there is no return at all. So there can be a doubt regarding this statement. So though the state is something which is eternal, which is blissful, it doesn't matter, it is something which is attained. The word used by Krishna is gatva. So after attaining which, so though we discuss it briefly, but still it's worth spending some time analyzing that. So yad gatva na nivartante, gatva means after having achieved. So there is a rule, there is an eternal law that whatever is achieved, that will definitely be lost. So whatever is achieved, whatever is being achieved, if we possess something, it will be dispossessed, definitely. Whatever comes, will go. So if we achieve something, then that means that we'll definitely lose it as well. So it goes without saying that if we achieve something, we'll definitely lose it as well. So if that is the case, if Krishna says that gatva, after achieving or attaining or reaching, then that means it will be lost as well, which means that it is not eternal. So it cannot be eternal if it is lost. So we get it and we lose it, so that means it is not eternal. And that is something which is very important, this doubt. So here though Krishna says that it is something which is achieved, it is not really achieved. It's a figurative way of putting it. So it's not something that is achieved, it is already there. So it's already there, and from our perspective, our ignorant perspective, it is something that is achieved. But there is nothing newly achieved. So the story of the prince. So there was a prince, and the prince, like he was lost, and when he was lost, he got he was found by a farmer, and he was brought up as a farmer's child. So when he grew up, he thought he was a farmer, and then one fine day, the king of the country, he meets the child and then finds out that this is my child, and he says, "You are not a farmer, you are a prince." So at that time, the prince achieves or becomes a prince. As from his perspective, he has become a prince. When the king told him, "You are a prince," he becomes a prince. But in reality, he doesn't become at all. It is just from his ignorant perspective. In fact, he was always the prince. So we have to see this from that aspect or that perspective. So Krishna is speaking to Arjuna, and through Arjuna to sadhakas. Sadhakas are ignorant, they don't know their nature. So since sadhakas don't know their nature, so that would mean that it is as if they are achieving the goal. In fact, they are already the goal. They have already achieved the goal. It is just realizing that I am already the self. I am the self. So that's where the Mahavakya of Tattvamasi, that you already are. There is nothing different to be achieved. You are already that. You were ignorant of it. You had forgotten it. And like we are, it's kind of reminding you, trying to get back, trying to realize who you really are. Okay, sorry. So you are already that. So from that perspective, from the ultimate perspective, it is not something which is achieved. It's a figurative way of putting it. Therefore, there is no problem with this goal being non-eternal. The goal is achieved. In fact, there is no achieving. It is a figurative way of putting it. In fact, it is just realizing. That's why it's called self-realization or Atma Sakshatkaram. Moksha, though Krishna uses the words of Yad Gatva and all, Moksha is never Atma Prapti. So it's not Atma Prapti, it is Atma Sakshatkaram. In some cases, people use the word Brahma Prapti, but Brahma Prapti is also not truly right. It is Brahma Sakshatkaram or Atma Sakshatkaram, realizing one's own nature. Oh, still I don't believe that I am already the Self. Whatever you have explained till now, the goal is eternal, all those I understand. Okay, I am already that, therefore the goal is not non-eternal. It's only a figurative way of telling that you will achieve the goal. In fact, you are already that. I don't believe it. That is where Krishna says that Mamaivamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanah manashashtani indriyani prakritistani karshati. So the first part of the shloka is very important. Then the rest are sort of continuation into the 8th or the 8th and 9th. Next two shlokas are continuations. So the first part of this shloka is that Krishna says Mamaivamsho jiva loke. So jiva loke, in this jiva loka, in this jagat, jiva bhutaha, jiva bhutaha, jiva bhutaha means that which is known as jiva or ahankaram or reflected consciousness, or which you identify as I, that is mameva, mama eva amshaha, my own part or my own aspect, sanatanam, sanatanam amshaha, eternal part of me. So whatever is, whatever jivas are there in the world, the jiva that you identify yourself with, the jiva that you are identified with, that jiva is in fact my own amsha. So again, here we can have again confusion. Amsha means a part. So amsha means it is just a part, it's not complete, it's just an aspect, we can say. So what does Krishna mean by amsha here? So again, amsha word is also a figurative way of putting it. So Shankara gives the example of Ghatakasham and Mahakasham, pot space and eternal space, infinite space. Pot space and infinite space. So Shankara says that we have like infinite space. Space is always infinite. But if there is a pot, the space gets or seems to be limited in the pot. So the space inside a pot, that is pot space, and it is limited. But is it really limited? No, it's not really limited, because space cannot be limited at all. But it seems to be limited. So pot space is an amsha of infinite space. Yes, pot space is kind of a part or an aspect of infinite space, but that is only because of the adjunct of pot. Remove pot, both are known to be exactly the same. So that is one way of explaining this amshatvam. So the amsha is not eternally real. The amsha, amshatvam, is like something which is temporary, which is based on adjunct. So in this case, what would be the adjunct? In this case of jiva being amsha of Ishvara, the adjuncts are the various bodies. Karana shariram, which is avidya, sukshma shariram, which consists of the mind, indriyas, etc., and the stula shariram. So there is another way of explaining this. So that's also used by Shankara. So we have a pot in which there is water. So Surya, sun, gets reflected in the pot, reflected in the water in the pot. So that reflected sun is a part, is an aspect of original sun. So it is an aspect of the original sun. But is it real? No, it is not real. So in the case of pot, in the case of pot space and infinite space, there is only one entity which is there, which is Akasham. In this example also, the reflected sun is not real. What is real is the original sun. The reflected sun seems to be there when adjuncts are there. So when adjuncts are there, it seems to be there. When adjuncts in this case is water. So remove the water and the pot, then there will be no sun at all. There will be only one sun. So with these two examples, we can understand. And then if all these are too logical, then the simplest example is I. Whatever pulsates inside as I, that I is initially, that I is temporary. We saw that this I gets identified, becomes ahankaram with aham and mama. But that aham and mama is not real. If we try to analyze our nature, the real I, then we'll find that this aham and mama is with respect to Jagat. Jagat is not real because Jagat is not there during Sushupti, during deep sleep. Jagat is not there. So that means this Jagat is, this aham mama is also not real, which means I am ultimately the self. The I is that, the I that pulsates inside me, that is really the self, which is unassociated with his Advaitam or Advitiyam, which is Satchidanandam. So ahankaram is an aspect, it is an amsha of Ishvara. So it is just an amsha. The amsha is not real. The amsha is just an illusion, which amsha just seems to be there when the adjuncts are there. So here it means that any person who thinks that the mind is there, thinks that the body is there, he will feel, he will think that ahankaram is also real. So that is why Krishna says sanatanam or sanatana amshah. So sanatanam means eternal amsha. This amsha is not eternal, but this amsha as the supreme, that is eternal. So reflected sun is not real as the reflection, but reflected sun is real as the original sun. Of course, reflection is not there without the original. Mukabhasako darpane drishyamanah mukatvat pratakvena naivasti vastu chidabhasako dishu jivopitadvat sanityopalabdhi swarupoham atma. So when a person, if there is a mirror, when there is a mirror and a person sees his face in the mirror, there is a reflection. The reflection in the mirror, the reflection of face in the mirror, that doesn't exist without the original face. Remove the original face, there will be no reflection. But can we remove the original face? The original face will always exist. But what can we remove? We can remove the mirror, the ajang. Yata dharpana bhava abhasa hanav mukam vidyate kalpana hinamekam tata divi yogi nidabhasakoya sanityopalabdhi swarupoham atma. So when we remove the mirror, then the face is without any change. The face is without any amsham. The face exists as such. Similarly, when this di, or when the adjunct, in this case the various shariras, are removed, then Ishvara will remain as one without any amshas. So it's as simple as, if the shariras are there, then Ishvara gets limited. Ishvara becomes an amsha. This amsha is not at all real. The amsha is one with Ishvara. And remove these shariras, amshas will vanish. So what is removal of shariras? We have already indirectly discussed this. Removal of shariras means knowing that the shariras are not real. So this is where in the later part of this chapter, Krishna brings in the concept of Kudastha. So there are two I that is there inside us. One is the ego I, which is reflected consciousness, And then the second is just a sakshi, which is a representative of Ishvara. Of course, like if it is so confusing, this is a technical concept that there is a kudastha inside us and there is a jiva who is reflected consciousness. Kudastha is a representative of Ishvara. So Ishvara, so kudastha we have to understand with respect to pot space and eternal space. So when pot is there, there is a space inside the pot that is a representative of infinite space. Similarly, when the shariras are there, there is a representative of Ishvara inside it, which is kutastha. At the same time, inside the pot there is water as well. So if water is there, akasham gets reflected in the water, or sun gets reflected in the water, so there is a reflection as well. So there is one jiva, which is reflection, which is ahankaram. Second is kutastha. Kutastha is a representative of Ishvara. And third is Ishvara. So difference between Ishvara and kutastha is that Ishvara is unlimited always. Kutastha seems to be limited. When pot is there, the pot space seems to be limited. It is not really limited. So we can see from either reflection theory or the limitation theory, it doesn't matter. Ultimately, I is always, like, though the I might seem to be now ahankaram, the I is in fact Ishvara who pulsates inside us, that Ishvara who is just a witness of whatever is happening to the ego, to the mind, to the indriyas, to the external world. Because all those are illusions, kutastha or Ishvara alone is real. So here just Krishna says that amevamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanah. So whatever is there is just an amsha. So it is important to just note here that amsha doesn't mean an aspect as such. So amsha means just a figurative way of putting it. Amsha is as if limited, as if apart, as if different. So it is in fact one and the same. So if it is not different, if it is one and the same, then why am I suffering? So I am suffering because the ahankaram, ahankara tadatmyam, identification with ahankaram happens. So when shariras are there, so shariras means karana shariram of avidya. When avidya is there, the mind, buddhi, etc. are there. When the antakaranam is there, as we have discussed previously, Ishvara gets reflected in the antakaranam, becoming a reflected consciousness. That reflected consciousness gets associated with the mind, the intellect, as well as the body and objects of the world, which include people as well. So this ahankaram, often when we use the word I, we identify with the reflected consciousness, not with the Sakshi Ishvara who is inside us. So we don't identify ourselves with the original consciousness. It's like the sun. So whenever we see the, imagine the case when sun gets reflected in a water and he identifies with the reflection in the water. So that is the state what is happening. And when a person is identified with the ahankaram, when a person is identified with the reflected consciousness, then birth and death, it continues, because ahankaram has kamam. As long as kamam is there, a person will have to take birth again and again. Yata karma yata shrutam. So if kamam is there, there will be karmam. And depending on what karmam we do in this birth, we'll have to be born in the next birth, depending on the karma, which means depending on desire as well. And that how the jiva goes from one birth to next birth, and how that all continues, that is what Krishna explains briefly in the second half of this shloka, and then the next two shlokas which we will discuss. So while discussing that also, we have to remember that all these, like birth and death, the next birth, the birth after that, all those are there only when a person is identified with the ahankara. So any minute a person gets jnanam, he goes beyond the world. Once he goes beyond the world, then there ends the birth and death chain. Oh, if birth and death chain end, then will this body be there? What does it matter? It doesn't matter at all whether the body is there, whether next body is there, because as long as we are identified with the ahankaram, the ahankaram takes new body. So the ahankaram, or what we call as jiva, that takes up a new body. When this body or upakarana becomes, this instrument becomes old, it takes a new body. So even as a, when a person, like when the when a shirt becomes old, we throw that shirt and take up new shirt. Similarly, when this body becomes old for the jiva to enjoy, of course, body is for enjoyment, desire, kamam, fulfillment of desire. So if there are desires, then the jiva will take new body. And since we are identified with the jiva, so we think that we take new body again and again, which we call as birth and death. Birth is taking up a new body, death is giving up the old body. But if we split ourselves and understand that we are not the jiva, we are Ishvara. We are not limited, we are not reflected consciousness, we are not ahankaram, we are not associated in any way with the entire world. Whatever is there in the world, whatever is happening in the world, that very moment, it doesn't matter, like we are separate from the jiva, so it doesn't matter whether the jiva takes up a new body, whether birth is there, that is there, it doesn't matter. So it's like telling, we see water in desert. When we see water in desert, we can run and say, oh, there is a person drowning in the water, I have to save him. So in order to save the person, we will try to call the police department and run towards there. All that is there as long as we consider water to be real. Any minute like we understand that water is real, not real, water is unreal, then that very moment all those drop off. So we may still see a person drowning. Oh, it appears as if a person is drowning. Our friend will say, it appears as if a person is drowning. Yeah, I also see that, but I know that it's not real. So it doesn't matter. Okay, since you are telling, I'll try to call the police and I'll try to run. But I know that it is not there. So I'll run all the way. And when I run and reach there, I'll not find it. And when I don't find it, I'll still be happy because I knew beforehand that it is not real. So that is what is more important. So it is easy to get distracted into whatever Krishna is going to tell now. It's about birth and death. So many people kind of love this concept and want, many people are interested in knowing as to what would happen after death, what happens after death and all. So it's as simple as this. As long as desires are there, person will have to take birth again and again. Desires are there, that itself means, tracing back whatever we discussed yesterday, nirmana moha, desire starts with manam and moham, desire starts with ahankaram. If I am not the ahankaram, then there is no desire. Such a person is an apta kama, such a person is a person whose desires are completely fulfilled, and therefore there is no birth or death. So it comes down to as simple as ahankaram is there or not. But still, Krishna being the compassionate master gives the opinion as to what would happen. And this is important. This may be a little bit important because if once we know as to what is going to happen, if we don't get rid of ahankaram, then, oh, it is as simple as dvandva bhavam. It is not as simple as dvandva bhavam. If ahankaram is there, then dvandva bhavam will be there. Person will be tossed between sukham and dukkham and similar dvandva bhavam. But it's not just that. A person will have to take birth again and again. So punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jatare shayanam. That will continue. Like taking birth, punarapi jananam, again birth, punarapi maranam, again death, punarapi janani jatare shayanam, again getting into the womb of a mother. So this will continue, this will go on and on. And that is what Krishna tries to tell. And later, like when we see the next shlokas after these 2.5 shlokas, we will see that as to why Krishna wants to speak about this. So manaha shashtani indriyani prakritistani karshati. So this ahankaram, or this amsham of Ishvara, which is jiva, so this jiva, which is limited, so this limited jiva, always carries with itself manaha shashtani indriyani. So it always carries the mind and the indriyas, pancha indriyas, along with itself. So prakritistani means that which is part of prakriti. So mind, the pancha indriyas are all part of prakriti. And karshati means akarshati, or it pulls, it attracts. So this jiva attracts the mind and indriyas. So why does this jiva attract mind and indriyas? Simple, the jiva wants to enjoy. If the jiva has to enjoy, can the jiva enjoy as such? No, it needs organs, sense organs. With the help of sense organs only, it can enjoy, it can have gross objects or gross pleasures. So therefore it needs, and therefore it carries, it attracts to itself the pancha indriyas and the mind. So here we can also say mind, along with the mind we can add intellect and chittam also, and with the indriyas we can say that it is pancha indriyas, but we can add the pancha pranas, pancha karma indriyas, or in short the linga shariram. So the jiva is closely tied to the indriyas. Isn't jiva tied closely to the external gross objects, which includes the body? Yes, the jiva is, but the jiva is not that closely tied to the body, because the jiva knows that this body is going to get old soon. So sukshma, the subtle indriyas, the mind and all, they are like, they'll always be there. They consist of vasanas. Vasanas can stay as long as possible. But the body is external. That which is gross has a shorter time span than subtle. So what happens when the jiva feels that this body is, jiva uses the indriyas and then gets a gross body, and then through the gross body and the indriyas it enjoys objects. But when the jiva knows that this body, gross body, is old, the gross body cannot be used for enjoyment, then shariram yadavapnoti yachapyutkramati ishvarah grihitvaitani samyati vayurghandaniva ashayat. So shariram yadavapnoti, whenever this jiva takes up a new body, or lets go of a new old body and takes up a new body. So shariram yat avapnoti, whatever new shariram when this jiva takes up, or yatcha api utkramati ishvarah, this jiva, whenever it gives up a body. So when the jiva takes up a new body and when the jiva gives up the old body, grihitva means carrying, etani samyati. So etani means the manaha shashtani indriyani, the mind, pancha indriyas. So we can say linga shariram. So with the jiva, the linga shariram, so okay, don't get confused about linga shariram. Linga shariram is the same as sukshma shariram. Sukshma shariram is considered to be either having 19 components, or in some cases 17, and in some cases 16. So it consists of pancha jnana indriyas, 5 sense organs of perception, 5 karma indriyas, 5 organs of action, and 5 pranas, so it is 15. And then just then it becomes 16. Add the mind and intellect, it becomes 17. Add the mind and intellect and chittam and ahankaram, then it becomes 19. So linga sharira, sukshma sharira. So sukshma sharira, the jiva takes up the sukshma sharira, carries the sukshma sharira along with it. So whenever a new body is taken up, Our old body is left, the jiva carries with itself. So that is why Krishna said that karshati. That means it attracts, it is attached to the sense organs. Sense organ means sukshma sharira, we can say. And how does it carry? So it carries vayuhu gandhan iva ashayat. So vayuhu gandhan iva ashayat. So even as vayu carries gandham, so air carries fragrance from a flower. So a flower has some fragrance in it. So air spreads that fragrance from the flower to nearby places. So even as air carries the fragrance, similarly the jiva carries the sukshma sharira with itself when taking up a new body or giving up an old body. So that's why in TV or like in movies and all, in some places it is also depicted as like air going out of a person. So it's like the fragrance. So fragrance is something which is subtle. So it's a perfect example that Krishna uses here. Fragrance is not something gross. So we cannot exactly see it. It is something subtle, but it's definitely air carries it. So it is carrying. So fragrance is part of the flower, but still it is carried by air. So similarly, the jiva carries. So sukshma sharira, again we getting back to sukshma sharira basically has desires that are strengthened, which is called vasanas. Vasana is desire, strengthened is called vasana. So sukshma sharira has desires and vasanas, so that get continued or that get carried. And and then Krishna gets back to the basic of how enjoyment happens. So he says, Shrotram chakshuh sparshanam cha rasanam ghranameva cha adishtaya manaschayam vishayan upasevate. So once the jiva lets go of the old body and takes up a new body, then the indriyas, the pancha, here only pancha jnanendriyas or organs of perception are mentioned. We can assume the other things as well. So shrotram means hearing, chakshuhu seeing, sparshanam touching, rasanam tasting, granam, so granam is smelling. So adishtaya manaschayam, and the manaha chayam, and the manas as well, adishtaya. So depending on all these vishayan upasevate, the jiva again starts enjoying vishayas. Vishayas means external objects. So this is what exact like this is what happens when a person has kamam and vasana. So in short, when a person has avidya, ignorance. So as long as a person is not realized, so what happens is, okay, don't we can't, like, we shouldn't start up asking questions as to when it started. This jiva continued, but there should be a place when the jiva started. So that starting point is called avidya or ajnanam. And when it started, we cannot exactly say it somehow started. So can we ever find out, like, when the water was seen in desert? No, we cannot. Because if we find out when the water is seen in desert, the moment water is seen, if we know that time, then obviously we know that the water is not real. That would mean that water will not be seen at all. So when did we start seeing water? We cannot exactly say about it. We cannot speak about it. So similarly, avidya, when it started, we don't know. Because it's not real, it's something temporary. So it's not at all there. Even avidya is not there. It is just an illusion. It started somehow. And once it starts, the jiva like wants to enjoy. So ultimately it is for enjoyment. So why do people take birth? Taking birth is, some people say, oh, I want to help, do social service. By social service means enjoyment. Again, social service is enjoyment. We get enjoyment out of helping external world. That is also a sort of enjoyment. So without jnanam, without the knowledge that this entire world is an illusion, this enjoyment or sense of enjoyment will go on increasing. So desires will increase day by day. Desires will increase. We'll have more and more desires. And as desires increase, we will enjoy objects. And when we enjoy objects, we grow old, or the body grows old. When the body grows old, the jiva lets go of this body and takes up another body. And then again starts over the same thing. Enjoyment goes on and on. So a seeker who wants to go beyond, a seeker who doesn't want to just enjoy worldly object, because he knows that the world is anityam, asukam, lokam. Is anityam and asukam. Such a person who knows that, such a person will not have any desires. So that is why it was said in the previous shloka as vinivritta kamaha. And previous shloka, the fifth shloka. A person who doesn't have kamam. So if kamam is there, then we should rest assured that we will have to enjoy it in this birth or in the next birth. Or there is only one way to get rid of kamam completely, through jnanam, that I don't have any kamam. So we already know the Manusmriti shloka, that the more we enjoy, the more we want to enjoy. So it is a vicious circle, it is a never ending chain. It will go on and on. Just by enjoying desire, we cannot put an end to desire. And that is like trying to extinguish fire by pouring ghee into it. The fire will not get extinguished, and instead the fire will burn more vigorously. So that is what would happen if a person just enjoys more desires, like things that I can fulfill. Today it will be 10 desires, tomorrow it will become 100, day after tomorrow it will become 1000, and then it will become lakhs, crores, millions, billions, trillions, and then this external body will not be ready for it, so we'll have to take another birth. Then the jiva goes on and on. The jiva takes up new birth again and again. The jiva continues, goes on and on. Whereas in the case of a jnani knows that I am not this jiva. So if I am not this jiva, then I don't have any desire. So if I don't have any desire, then if there is no desire at all, then why should I take birth again? Why should the jiva take birth again? The jiva will not take birth. Okay, if the jiva says, oh, come on, like you are realized, you are a sakshi, but still I want enjoyment. Okay, go and enjoy. Can you enjoy without me? A sakshi will ask, okay, can you enjoy without me? Oh, eyes, you want to enjoy, go and enjoy. But remember, like I am the controller, I am the truth. I am the ultimate truth where you exist. Your existence is dependent on me. So you can enjoy, go and enjoy. But if I am not there, then there will be no use. So they said, like, there is a story in Upanishad that all these indriyas started arguing. So the various indriyas, sight, touch, hearing, all those, like they all started arguing as to who is more important. Even the mind, intellect and all. Who is more important? I am more important. You always have that argument or that fight is always there. I am more better than you. I am better than you. That's always there. It's a competitive world, not just externally, internally as well. So these indriyas had an argument. So they were fighting on, I am greater, I am greater, I am greater. So nobody would like let go. Or let other guy win. Therefore it became totally like it became a chaotic situation. But then somehow somebody said, like some of them said, okay, let's figure this out. So who is more important? We can know who is more important by like one person just leaving the place. So if somebody is very important to a company, if that person quits, then the company will fall down. The company cannot exist at all. So if there is some person like that, then that person is more important. So let's try it out. So everybody agreed. So the first year, eyes like Chakshu, that they were the first to say, I'll go first. very egoistic that, okay, I am more important than anything else, so I'm sure, like, once I leave, then nothing will happen. So the eyes went away. When the eyes went away, the person, like, was able to live for 1 year. It was the 1 year was the term. 1 year without eyes, but still the person survived. Eyes returned back, saying, okay, now I accept defeat. The next, it was the turn of the ears. So ears went away, but still the person could live as a deaf person. And the next was smell. Even without smell, the person could live. And then taste. Without taste, also a person could live. Without the mouth speaking, that was also possible. Without touch, that was also possible. Without hands, that was also possible. Without legs, that was also possible. Without mind, that's also possible. Mental people, and without intellect. So without intellect, that was also possible, because he doesn't have much buddhi. Many people say, oh, I don't have much buddhi. Without memory, the people who say, oh, I try learning a lot of things, but nothing goes into my mind. Nothing, the retention power in my mind is very less. That means chittam has let go. The memory, the storehouse of the antahkarana, that has left. Still, oh, well, I'll meet somebody and then I'll not remember who the person is. That's also fine. Person was able to live. And then finally, it was the case of the Atman. The Atman said, okay, let me think, let me leave for now. So the Atman said, I'll leave. And the Atman was about to leave. Immediately, all the other people realized. They found out that, okay, this is not right, this is not good. They stopped the Atman. No, 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 you are important. If you leave, everything will vanish. So that means, let the ahankaram see, let the eyes see anything. Let ahankaram see anything, but I control it. I am the self, I am Ishvara. So they are under my control. So any person who understands that the I inside us is controlling everything, that person will be able to control each and everything in the world. Remembering things, fine. Getting over attachment, that's also fine. Anything, getting over anger, fine. Getting over hunger, fine. Anything is possible. That's why many people, like Mahatma, say anything is possible in the world, because it is the Atman that controls everything. Control that one Atman, everything is controlled. So that's why spiritual seekers who are really spiritual, seekers who follow spirituality, who try to implement spirituality, they will be able to get whatever they want, whether it is with respect to logical analysis, whether it is with respect to memorizing things, whether it is with respect to actions, whether it is with respect to worldly goals. They will be able to achieve anything, because they have the secret key to achieving anything and everything, which is the Atman. Of course, the more a person tries to be in that state, stick on to the Atman, trying to keep the Atman in mind, the more a person does that, the more and more a person does that, then all his indriyas, his eyes, his mouth, his nose, his ears, everything will be focused on the Atman, will be directed towards realization than anything else. And that is what was explained by Krishna as Adhya Atma Nitya, being focused on the Atman. So that is where Mahatmas or Jnanis who are always focused on the Atman, people who are focused on the Atman will always try to speak about the Atman. They will be always speaking about the Atman. They will be always listening about the Atman. They will be always trying to sing about the Atman. They will be seeing the Atman everywhere. So everywhere for them, they have only one object in mind, which is Ishvara. So this is what is being beautifully explained by Ezhuthachan, one of the Malayalam poet, in Harinama Kirtanam as Yadunnu Kangiladu Narayana Pratima, Yadunnu Kelkiladu Narayana Shrutigal, Yadunnu Cheyigiladu Narayana Archanagal, Yadunnadagiladu Narayanaya Nama. So whatever is being seen, Yadunnu Kangiladu Narayana Pratima, whatever is being seen is Narayana's form. யாதொன்னும் கேட்கிறது நாராயண ஸ்ருதிகள், வாட் எவர் இஸ் பீங் ஹர்ட் இட் இஸ் ப்ரைசஸ் ஆஃப் நாராயணா. யாதொன்னும் செய்கிறது நாராயண அர்ச்சனைகள், வாட் எவர் இஸ் பீங் டன் இஸ் அர்ச்சனா இஸ் அன் ஆஃபரிங் டு நாராயணா. யாதொன்னதாகிறது நாராயணாயனம, வாட் எவர் இஸ் தேர் தட் இஸ் நாராயணா எலோன், சர்வம் ஈஸ்வர மயம். So that will be the attitude of a person who controls the Atman. So if, even if we are not able to control the Atman, still fine. We should try to be, go beyond Ahankaram, go beyond Kamam. So we can also say, like, if it is easier, then we can also say that Ahankaram cannot exist without Kamam. So Ahankaram itself means we have some desires. Without desires, individuality cannot exist. Can we remain as an individual without having desires? No, impossible. So desires are the problem. So get rid of desires. Desire means any desire. Helping my parents, helping my friend, helping worldly people, helping the poor, helping the suffering. Any desire. So get rid of any desire. How can we get rid of all desires? The simplest way to get rid of all desires is by having the desire to realize Ishvara. So that desire of moksham, I want moksha, that desire can get rid of all other desires. Have that desire, all other desires will vanish. And when desires vanish, there is no ahankaram. If there is no ahankaram, then there is no birth and death. So there is no birth and death means there is no dukkham. So with birth and death comes dukkham. So we suffer, mostly most of the people suffer because of the body. Oh no, I don't suffer because of the body. I suffer because I am attached to my father. Okay, who is your father? Oh, the person who gave birth to my body. That means it is associated with the body. I am attached to my son. Who is son? Again related to body. So all problems like that. Why Sureshwaracharya in the starting of Naishkarmya Siddhi itself he says, because of the Sharira, it is because of the Sharira that suffering comes. So a person who isn't associated or identified with the body, problem is almost solved. Because without body consciousness, it is body, like based on the body that Ahankaram is there. Remove the body, then where can ego be there? There cannot be any ego without the body. So all attachment, all desires are based on body. So I am not the body. Naham deho, name deho. So naham deho, I am not the deham. Name deho, deha is not my possession. So neither am I deha, nor is the deha part of me or is associated with me. I possess the deham, that is also a problem. So many people think they are not the body. I am not the body. It's a very easy way to contemplate when there is no trouble. So when there is bodily pain, then I am the body will not be there. If such a person has to sit in front of Amma for 3 hours, he will not be able to, because that it's not there. I am not the body cannot come. So many people think I am the body is very easy to get rid of. I am not the body. It's very easy. It may seem to be very easy, but it's not just that. It is also the body is mine. So if we have the concept of the body is mine, aham and mama. So neither am I the body. There is no aham with respect to body. There is no mama with respect to body. So both of those have to go. When both of those go, then there is no dukkham at all. So shariram is the cause of dukkham. Remove, get rid of shariram. Get rid of the notion that shariram is mine, or shariram is I. Part of the problem is solved. So such a person will be nirmana moham, and therefore he will attain the avyayam padam. That means he will ever be blissful. So bliss is when a person gets rid of the notion that the body, I am the body, or the body is mine. So if a person, oh, it doesn't matter, I don't want that. I am content with happiness and sorrow. I am content with Dvandva Bhavam. So if a person says I am content with Dvandva Bhavam, then he has to remember that he'll have to take birth again and again. Shariram yadavapnodi yachapyukramati ishvarah. He'll have to take birth again and again, because as long as this Dvandva Bhavam is there, as long as Kama is there, as long as Ahankaram is there, as long as Avidya is there, a person will have to take birth again and again, because this gross body decays, and once this gross body decays, then the next gross body has to be taken. So the simple question to rebirth is, what is rebirth? If there are desires, the jiva will take another body. So desires are vasanas. So vasanas or desires are part of the mind. So the mind gets carried by the jiva, or carried along with the jiva when this body is given up. So if desires are not there, if ahankaram is not there, if avidya is not there, then there is no birth again. So such a person, nasa punaravartate, he doesn't return again. So that is where Krishna said as yad gatva na nivartante, after having attained, there is no return, there is no birth and death chain for such a person. So like, may Amma bless us so that we don't have to, like, though we know now as to what is rebirth, what happens when a person dies and takes another birth, may Amma bless us so that we may not have to go through that again. We'll continue. I'm sure.